Amen. Last message that we shared, we talked about why unity matters. And we approached that from an unusual angle. Unity matters because of the nature of God. There is an amazing, intimate relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that is so united, that is so perfect in its unity. The Bible says that the Father and the Spirit and the Son are one. And they are one in being, but they're also one in purpose. They speak the same things. You'll never hear the Spirit of God speak something different than Jesus. You'll never hear something from the Father that's different than what the Holy Spirit speaks. They speak the same thing. Their voice is one. And one of the reasons why unity matters is because we are created in God's image, and we are called and created for the purpose of being like God. And if God is one, then his purpose for us is that we would be one. And that's actually what the scripture teaches. But we approached it from a different angle in that message. We leaned towards some other passages of scripture that talk about the effect of us not being in unity and what happens to the people around us when we are not in unity. And we talked about the fact that as Christians, I don't just represent me. You know, wherever I go, yes, my name is Mike Rosenaw, and the things that I do are going to reflect either good or bad on my name. But as a Christian, as a person who belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, I actually represent another. I am standing for him. Everywhere I go, the choices that I make, the things that I do, reflect on the one who has saved my soul and who has come into my life. And so we talked about some passages of scripture that talk about doing things and living in a way that brings glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. And I entitled that message, Why Unity Matters. This week, we want to talk about why knowing God matters. And I'm going to start in the third paragraph there. If you want to follow along with me, third paragraph on the first page. What I want you to see today is that unless a person really knows God and understands what God is, what God really is, and who God really is, and then responds to that knowledge about God and actually believes it and receives the truth about who God actually is, okay, then saying that God values something or that he commands something in his word has little value or meaning. Now, what I mean by that is this. If a person doesn't believe in the real God, you can tell them you should or should not do these things because God says you should or should not do these things. But really, it's meaningless. Unless a person understands who God is, unless they have a revelation of what his character is and what his heart is, you can tell people what is important to God, but it's meaningless. It's largely meaningless. Because unless a person knows God, knows who he is, knows his claim upon the universe, knows that he is the sovereign creator of all things, and unless a person knows that in the revelation that he is God and he has created everything for himself, I am created for him. And the person that I'm talking to has been created, the Bible says, by him and for him. Every human being has been created by God and for God. But if a person doesn't know that, and I say to them, you know, I mean, God really, really values us not having offenses with other people. You know, and the reason is because God is a God of peace. If a person doesn't have a revelation of who God is, then it just becomes one more value system among the many value systems. Okay, that's your God. Oh, yeah, yeah, you believe in God, and yeah, you believe that we should act morally or do certain kinds of things, but that's your truth. Your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. Unless a person really knows God, these kinds of conversations often fall short. And we try and share with people about certain kinds of morality. We try and share with people about why we even do the things that we do or why we value the things that we do. And often it's just religion to people. Often it's just rules. You know, things like the Bible says you shouldn't covet, or thou shalt not commit adultery, or thou shalt not lie. To a lot of people, any of these kinds of things they're just rules, religious rules. And when we try and share with people or communicate about these different kinds of things, some people may even assent to those things, but they're not assenting to those values or those ideas about right and wrong because they believe that there is a holy God and these things reflect his nature and character. They may think, well, yeah, sure, that's just a good way to live. But in reality, when push comes to shove, when the circumstances require it, oh, a little white lie is not so bad. You know? If I don't completely share everything about my finances on my tax thing, well, that's not a real major problem with that. And, you know, I may be sitting in a room with some people, and a man is there with his wife, and she is very beautiful. And, I look at her and begin to notice her physical attributes, and coveting or lust begins to rise up in my heart. Well, it doesn't really matter. I just keep that secret. Nobody sees what's really going on inside me. I'll hide that. And people live that way. They live with the idea, well, you know, it's not really wrong. You know, I didn't do anything. And Jesus comes along and he says, if a man even looks at a woman and lusts after her in his heart, he has already committed adultery. And I just share that with you so you can see the way God sees things is very different than the way we see things. And when we talk about certain kinds of morality, our society today is plagued by certain kinds of things. Pornography is one of the biggest problems in Canada today. And I don't know if you notice the way the television programs are going. There are now new series, whole television series, that are coming out that are about adultery. And they're about the affairs that people have. And people are looking at this, maybe that's not the best thing to do and whatnot, but lots of people are doing it, you know? And, you know, we really shouldn't judge, you know? If it happens, it happens. But, you know, there's no real ultimate being or person that we have to answer to. So in the end, it comes down to, yeah, I don't think that's probably the best thing, and I probably wouldn't do that, but, you know, somebody else may feel that's okay. And so what I'm saying to you is when a person has no revelation, there's no idea about who God is, no idea that God, we're actually living in him. The Bible says in him we live and move and have our being, and that he is not some impersonal force. He's not some being that has created the universe and then left. And everything just, whatever happens, happens on Earth, or in the rest of the universe. He really has nothing to do with planet Earth. Some people believe that. Or they believe that there is a power. And you can call it whatever you want. Call it God. But it's an inanimate. It's not living. It is a life force, in the sense, that is behind all living things. But it's not personable. Personal. You can't know God, because how do you know an impersonal force? How do you have a relationship with something that is just inanimate, like a rock or like a tree? And so in that kind of belief system, people are left. you know, ultimately they have to look for some other source for their values and some other source for right and wrong. And in lack of that, you know, if the laws of our country allow for certain kinds of things and, you know, you don't get thrown in jail for doing them, well, maybe it's okay. You can live in all these different kinds of ways that our society says is acceptable. And so man becomes the plumb line. Every person becomes the plumb line. Every person makes their own plumb line in a belief system where there is no God, no one that we are ultimately accountable to, and no one who actually has said, this is right and this is wrong. Okay? The subject of this message this morning is why knowing God matters. Why knowing God matters. And one of the things about why knowing God matters is we will never ultimately know what is of true value and what is truly right and wrong until we see God face to face. Now let me give you an example. Our society, and one of the problems that our society has, is racism. We have racism in our society. We have other kinds of isms where one person or one group of people is seen as more highly valuable or seen as better than some other group of people. And in actual fact, although Canadian society has kind of fought this, I mean, racism is still prevalent in our society today, even though we have, you know, taken some steps in the right direction, but it still exists. It's still common to hear language come out of people's mouths, you know, ragheads or, you know, very derogatory terms to different kinds of racial groups or stereotypical language. And you know, people, if you go online and you look at the blogs, you can see people spewing out things against different kinds of ethnic groups or sexism, you know, toward women or whatever the case may be, or all kinds of things like that. In a society that has no ultimate plumb line of right and wrong, where the highest standard of what is right and wrong is what every single human being thinks. What's right for you is right for you. What's right for me is right for me. Then there is no accountability. There is no way to ultimately say. And, you know, maybe our government will get a big club and we begin to put laws in place to make clamp down on these things. But in the end, it's either the government, which is very imperfect at telling us what's right and wrong, or it's the individual who decides for himself what is right and wrong. In a world where there is no knowledge of God, everyone does what's right in his own eyes. And often what is right in a person's eye is to travel over to Thailand and to pay for children to have sex with. Often what's right in people's eyes is to drug children here in Canada, to drug children that are vulnerable, that in situations where they are, the trust has been given to somebody, and adults have used that trust relationship to bring children into their home and to drug those children and then to video them in sexual abuse and things like that and sell those things. My wife's sister, Allison, was what do you call it when you're called up to be on a jury? Jury duty. Yeah. Whatever it's called when they call a person up for jury duty. It was a number of years ago, but she was one of the 12 people that was on a case where a family in Prince George was charged with multiple counts of the abuse of children. And it was like a 10-month court case where every day that, you know, she would have to go into the court and she'd have to watch these vile videos. And in the end, those people went to jail. But these kinds of things are happening right here in our country because at the core, many people believe, you do what's right in your own eyes. You do whatever you want to do. And in a universe without God, it's every man for himself. In a universe without God, everybody does what's right or what's wrong in their own eyes. And one of the main reasons that we need to know God, one of the main purposes, the main values of knowing God is the ultimate sense of justice. God is the ultimate sense. I'm not saying God has, I'm saying God is. God is the ultimate sense of righteousness. He himself, in his nature, in his character, is holy. He is pure. And when a person, what happens to a person who comes in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ? It's like Isaiah. When Isaiah came in contact with God, and it's described in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 6. He said, I saw the Lord, and his train filled the temple. And there were angels, seraphim, and cherubim, and they had six wings, and with two of their wings they were covering their eyes, and two of their wings they were covering their feet, and with the other two they flew. And they were crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And his response in seeing the Lord and seeing the holiness and the righteous character of God was to say, woe, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips living in a perverse nation. And I'm sharing this with you very, very honestly. One of the most valuable things, why it matters to know God, is and please hear this today, okay? You will never ultimately understand what we really are. And I'm going to use me. You will never ultimately understand what I really am until you see the face of God. And I want to say it two ways. You'll never understand my ultimate worth or the ultimate worth of the person who's sitting beside you, no matter what their color is, no matter what their status in life is, no matter whether they are male or female. You will never ultimately understand the worth of another human being until you see the face of God. But you'll also never understand how actually dark our hearts really are. And the gospel, you know, we love the gospel of grace, and the gospel of grace is the truth. We are loved by God by unmerited favor. You know, we don't deserve what God has done for us. We didn't deserve that God would send his son into this world to die for us and to take upon himself the punishment for our sins. We didn't deserve that. We didn't do something good to get that. We weren't acting right. You know, we weren't ethically right. We weren't ethically pure. We weren't, you know, holy. And God looked upon the goodness of mankind and said, these people here are worth, because of their all the good things that they've done, they are worth me sending my son to die for. In fact, it's the exact opposite of that. The Bible says, all we like sheep, every one of us like sheep have gone astray, every single one of us into our own way. The Bible says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. One of the first revelations that happens to a person when they come in contact with God is they come to understand he is holy, I am not. He is utterly, completely pure in every sense of the word, as pure can possibly be, but I am not. He is righteous and he is just. He is utterly and completely right in every single way. He is utterly and completely good in every way. But I am not. But here's the amazing thing that happens. In the revelation of the darkness of our soul, of the darkness of our life, God at the same time brings the revelation of his infinite love. He tells us what we're like. And in the same breath, he says, I love you. He shows us the darkness of our hearts. He shows us what is truly right and truly wrong, what is truly pure and truly impure. But at the same time as he is saying that, he is saying, I love you. I love you. I don't love you because you did what's right. I don't love you because you did or didn't sin. I love you because I created you for myself. I love you, and you have worth to me because I created you. I declare your worth. And even in your state of being a sinner, you have value to me. How much value? I'm going to do something that you cannot do for yourself. I'm going to send my son. And he is God. The Bible says, Jesus did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. And he came and in the likeness of death, he gave himself to death so that we could come into relationship. God became man, and that man went to the cross, not for pure people, not for righteous people, but for sinners. And so the gospel is these two things. The gospel without the revelation of sin is not the gospel. The gospel, you know, that you're okay and I'm okay, and God loves us. That's not the gospel. Okay? And you hear that all the time. I'm okay, you're okay. You go ahead and do whatever you want. You know, I'll do whatever I want, so long as we don't hurt each other. Everything's okay. You know? Go after any kind of sexual whatever you want. Doesn't really matter. You know, so long as you're not hurting somebody, you're not forcing somebody, well, that's okay. And so long as we're living by our standard, by us, and we are the measurement of what's right and wrong, well, it is okay. Until you come into the presence of a holy God. And I want you to hear this today. This is what a holy God does. Leilani, you're in the front row, and I'm sorry about that, but you picked the front row today, and so I'm going to use you. And I could use any young woman in this place, and I want to use a young woman for a certain reason. I want to tell you today what you see with this young woman sitting in the front row. This is a person who has been created by God for himself. And he created her for himself so that she would become his bride. And his relationship with her is utterly clean. It is utterly pure. He looks upon her with the absolute purity of a holy God. And any man who is like Christ will look at Leilani that way. Any man who sees through the eyes of Christ will look at young women and see them through the eyes of Christ and see the value and see the worth that's in them and see them how God sees them as someone who is not to be touched, as someone who is not to be looked upon with lust, someone who is not to be treated like an object or viewed, looked upon as an object. As someone who has intrinsic worth and value that's been declared by God himself, the value of every young woman, older woman, is this, that God paid the price of his own son for that person. That declares their worth. And so God says to young men, he says, young men, treat the young women as sisters. And he says this. He said, keep your body in sanctification. In other words, separate your body from certain kinds of lusts and certain kinds of desires. Why? Because I am a holy God, and the person you're looking at is my daughter. That's my bride you're looking at. That's my bride that you're lusting after. Don't you understand her worth? Don't you understand her value? She is my treasure. And so then he says this. I'm quoting from Thessalonians, by the way. Then he says this. He says, let no man go beyond and defraud his brother. Now, Leilani is a single person. I want to tell you something. The Bible says, let no man go beyond and defraud his brother. Leilani, in the purposes of God, in the timing of God, there may be a man somewhere who God has chosen in his purposes. A day is coming in the providence of God for his purposes, for her life, and for that young man. And God intends to bring them together at the right time. A holy, clean, pure relationship with two people who love God and can build a life together. And I want to say to you today, and please hear this today, Leilani already belongs to that person. She's not free for just, you know, anybody to look upon and whatever. Neither is any other woman in this place. I'm sorry, Leilani. Are you okay? You're right in the front row. Okay? But you're a good example of this. Okay? You got to hear this, guys. Where does this come from? Where do you get values like that? This is the treasure of God, who is to be treated and looked at and valued and responded to the very way that God himself looks upon her and responds to her. You don't get that in the human race. You get that in the face of God himself, who bestows a revelation of your own worth. He bestows upon you a revelation of how much you are worth to him. Why do we value other people? Why do we esteem other people? We esteem other people because we have experienced the love and the value and the esteem of God ourselves. We have felt his love. We have been received by him when we've been failures. We've been received by God when our lives were far from him, when we were living in hell, we were doing hellish things, we were living like the devil and under the devil's influence. In that space, God loved us and called us out. And if you've been around Christianity at all, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We come into the presence of God, and there, in the face of Jesus Christ, we find acceptance. And we find the words of the scripture, you are accepted in the beloved, just like you are, skin color, you know, race, sex, you know, male, female, tall, short, you know, doesn't matter what your shape is, doesn't matter if you have funny knobs coming out of your body, okay? Doesn't matter how smart you are, amen? Or if you have a mental illness, or if you struggle with depression, or if you struggle with doubt, it doesn't matter if you have some kind of physical problem. You have infinite worth to God. You are worth Jesus Christ dying for you. Why do I see Matt the way I see Matt? Why do I see Matt the way I see Matt? If I see through my eyes, I see just another man. But if I see Matt through Jesus' eyes, I see someone chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I see someone who the eyes of God was on before the universe existed. I see somebody who God saw in Christ, before the foundation of the world. I see someone who was not just, you know, didn't just happen to come about the way he is. He actually was designed by God. He has a particular personality with giftings and a character and a way of thinking and a way of being that God has honed in his life from his birth. God has made Matt what he is, with unique giftings, a unique place in the body of Christ, a call upon his life, a future, a destiny. Then he says to me, he says, Mike, I want you to see Matt through my eyes. I want you to respond to him the way I do. I want you to care about him the way I care about him. I want you to make the opportunities for Matt the way I do. You see, in the face of God, we find our own worth. And in the face of God, we find the worth of others. Why does it matter that you know God? Why does it matter that you get to know God? I mean, get to know him. Not just that you get to know him. That you get to know him. You understand what I'm saying? The difference there. Okay? It's important that you get to know him. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that in any area you don't see through the eyes of God is an area that there is a limitation on your life. It is an area that has openness to whatever darkness and whatever value systems are operating in the world around us. Why is it that two fishermen who had given their entire lives to fishing, and that's what they knew, that's what they did, that was their livelihood, and they lived for that day after day after day, going to the water, taking their nets out, gathering the fish, bringing them in, selling them in the town, feeding their families. And along comes a man. And in one moment, a man who is different than any other man says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they drop their nets, they drop their livelihood, they leave their boats, and they go and follow this strange man. How is it that a man who robs people for a living? He was a tax collector. In those days, the way tax collectors make money, this is Zacchaeus. Tax collectors made money in those days by skimming. And they were hated. They were the most despised. They were the lowest of the low. They were hated by everybody because they robbed the people. And they were serving the Romans. And Jesus, with the multitude, the crowds are following him down the street. Jesus, you know, this little short guy, you know, can't see Jesus coming, climbs up in a tree to get a view of Jesus. And out of all the people, the crowd that's there, you know, and the milling in around him, wanting to hear him, the teacher, the rabbi, the seeing the miracles that he's done, he points up and calls him by name, Zacchaeus. He already knows his name. Zacchaeus, I'm going to have lunch with you in your house today. The Bible doesn't tell us what was done. It doesn't tell us what was said. It doesn't tell us what the conversation was. But the result of coming in contact with the face of God, he comes out of the house rejoicing and publicly announcing to the multitudes, "Every man that I have robbed, I will repay." I can't remember how many fold. His whole moral value system, his way of seeing people around him, his way of responding changed by knowing God, by coming in contact with God. Amen. Are you hearing me? Okay. I've said all God wants to say, and we've read one paragraph of the notes.
Thank you for listening. Please feel free to share this message with others, but do not sell or alter the content in any way without the permission of the Rock Christian Community.